Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
In what way? You have to at least... Where's that one coming from?
I think I could see him doing it. Adam Silver from Halsey, because he's bald.
Oh my God, is that a great call?
He could also be a real-life Charlie Brown.
Yes.
Ron could be Hank Stram.
What? Ron looks nothing like Hank Stram. Ron could be the GM of the Sixers, Daryl Morey. You ever seen that guy? That's a younger Ron Cook right there.
Okay. Yeah, I could see that.
Anything for Pony?
No. So the only thing I could think of, and this might be a little off, he'd have to get tatted up a little bit, Kevin Pittsnoggle. Would that work?
If you work the magic of television, you could turn Crowley into a Pittsnoggle figure and make him look taller and all.
Give him 16-inch platform shoes or something.
Yeah, like sometimes when you see movie stars, they look way, or television stars, way different in person than on TV. Crowley could star in the Kevin Pittsnoggle story, I believe. Yeah, platform shoes, you know, whatever tricks they use on camera, he'd be incredible.
Just hire a lot of other really short people so he looks taller by comparison.
City Limits would be, is Jimmy Neutron? Is he a sports character?
Who's the guy? Duncan Robinson.
Yeah, he could be any one of those.
Because they have
guys.
The hair. Yeah, Jimmy Neutron, Bechtold, and Duncan Robinson all have the same hairstyle.
Do you know anybody who's been in a sports movie? But my wife in Fighting Back, and then I had a buddy growing up in Buffalo who was an extra in The Natural. He sat in the crowd when Robert Redford hit that home run at the end where the whole place explodes.
Yeah.
You know anybody?
Has Pomp been in a sports movie?
Ed Bouchette was in a sports movie.
Saggy too, right?
Who? Steigy was in that.
Sudden Death.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ed Bouchette was in the Bill Cowher story. The movie about the Eagles special teams guy.
Oh, yeah. The guy who was a bartender.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
I forget the name of the movie. I think Ron was drinking in that movie. But then again, Ron was drinking in every movie. All right. Let's move along here. Let's move along. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. 0% financing on all 2024 Chevrolet EV models up to 60 months through January 3rd. Credit through GM Financial. A high of 36 today, low of 31. Snow possible overnight. Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We have a Donnie Football Friday tomorrow. That's going to be a very rare treat. We've got all kinds of things planned for that, but we still have another hour and a hot one planned here. Who does Ben think the Steelers should fear? He says only one team in the AFC. And who among the possible first-round opponents, the wild-card round, would you prefer to play? And I know there's a lot of, you know, home, away, this, that, whatever. I'm just going to list them. Which opponent? Ravens, Chargers, Texans, or Broncos? Let's talk about that coming up, because there's going to be a lot of jockeying. I mean, the teams themselves are set, or it would appear, barring a total collapse here by one of them. But in what order, and who's playing who in that wild card round? Let's talk about that coming up. 50-minute mark on the Fan was brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Well, the good news here is that the Steelers have already clinched a playoff spot, so we can do things like speculate ahead, even not knowing if they'll win the division. Who would you rather play type things? And tonight's game might have something to say about that. This is an interesting game with the Chargers and the Broncos. Listen, a month ago or so, I thought the Chargers were a team that could very quietly upset somebody, if not a few people, for a couple of reasons. One, they have a good defense, or they were playing well then defensively. Two, they have a quarterback, like a real quarterback. And three, they have a head coach who's won some big games in the NFL. They were a team I looked at, was like, I don't know if I'd love to play them in a playoff scenario. I wonder how that Steeler game would have gone if Justin Herbert didn't leave that game. But since then, you know, they've lost 3 of 4 now. They got crushed by Tampa. I will say they've lost to Lamar, Mahomes, and Baker Mayfield, who's having a very good year. So I still don't think they'll necessarily be a pushover. But the other thing that's happening with them is that Justin Herbert's numbers are just kind of paltry. Like, he throws for less than 200 yards a lot. It seems like the deal with Justin Herbert is that Harbaugh has come in and said, do not make mistakes, please. That's it. He has only two interceptions, but only 16 touchdowns. His completion percentage, not great. It's like 63-something. His passer rating, 97. He hasn't been that good. That's the thing about the Chargers. So if the question is this, who would you rather play? One choice among the prospective playoff opponents in the first round, obviously, in the wild card round. Ravens, Chargers, Broncos, or Texans. I think I'd go with the Chargers first. I mean, every team has a little something that scares me. I think I would go Chargers first. Texans, believe it or not, second, even if that game's on the road. And then the Broncos and then the Ravens. And that's even if the Steelers beat the Ravens again and it's 9 out of 10. I mean, let's be honest here. We can talk about whether some of the wins were lucky or not. All of those games are coming down to a play. And I really don't want to face Lamar if I don't have to, if I have choices. And in this theoretical exercise, we do. Lamar's the last guy I want to see. But I'll say this. I think Bo Nix, for now, has moved ahead of C.J. Stroud as a guy I don't want to see, which I never thought I would say. But Stroud has been up and down and not great this season. And Bo Nix, since that team, well, since the Steelers left Denver, is a better way to phrase it. He hasn't been good. He's been mostly great. Are you aware of that? Sean, don't call me Seth Meyers. And I know that he had 3 interceptions last week, but he also had 3 touchdowns. He's kind of the anti-Herbert right now in that he's just slinging it. And since the Steelers left Denver, and I thought left them to die early in the season, this dude has 20 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. He's had games like Atlanta where he threw for 300 with 4 TDs and no interceptions. Plus, he can move around a lot. I'm a little more fearful of Denver than I am Houston right now. But if you're asking me, and I'm asking myself actually right now in this exercise, who I would most like to play in the wild card round, it's the Chargers. How about you?
I think the Chargers and Broncos are very similar, although I definitely agree Denver with Bo Nix has been trending up since the Steelers saw them. I'm stunned that not only are they going to make the playoffs, that they could potentially win a playoff game. I thought they'd be one of the worst teams in the league this year.
So did I.
And I'm sure there's guys that come to mind for you that drafted in the first round a quarterback and you expect that they're never going to pan out. Zach Wilson, I thought that about Bo Nix. I did not expect him to ever be a good starting quarterback. I thought he just was going to be below average as a starter, or maybe even a guy who didn't stick as a starter at all.
Yeah.
So the fact that he's become a real weapon, and he doesn't have great guys around him. He's got kind of an okay cast. He's doing a lot of it on his own. I'm stunned by that. That said, I still would think that there's a more likely chance the Steelers can rattle and get to him in the playoffs than they could against Herbert, who has obviously not done a ton in postseason. That team has disappointed many years in the playoffs.
So you're taking Denver then as your preferred
team? I would
team.
Actually say Denver would be the best matchup. Then I would say the Chargers, then the Texans, and I agree Baltimore's the scariest.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Well, extending that conversation, you can join in, by the way, at 412-928-9370. Which of those teams would the Steelers match up best against? Expanding that to the entire AFC field, as hopefully the Steelers would get out of that wild card round, Ben Roethlisberger, on his podcast this week, says that the one team that he fears in the AFC is the Bills, not the Chiefs. The Bills.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
This is quote, the good news is we wouldn't have to play that team, meaning the Eagles or the Lions, until the Super Bowl. There's only one team I fear on our side, meaning the AFC, and that's Buffalo. How about that?
Didn't we make this mistake last year where people are like, this isn't going to be the year for the Chiefs. They're not that good. You know, they don't have as many weapons. This is the year that they're finally...
But you know what he's saying? I think he thinks maybe, he does, the worst matchup would be the Bills in the entire field this year.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. But I don't think that's the only matchup that would be one that would be tough for the Steelers.
Oh, no,
I think Kansas City's really close to Buffalo. I would say the Bills are the worst. KC's right behind.
So you agree with him? I'm not sure I do. I was arguing against you there, but I still think it's the Chiefs in Kansas City. The Bills don't play defense. They certainly haven't the last couple weeks. I'd rather go out. Now, Josh Allen's a monster. I understand that. But I could picture a scenario in which the Steelers could shorten a game against Buffalo and get after him a little bit. I'm not saying I would predict that. But you go into Kansas City, into Arrowhead, what are the Steelers going to do offensively?
kick field goals
against that team. And then you're going against the monsters, Mahomes and Reed. So your original point, I actually agree with, which I thought you were making, was that Kansas City is still the team to beat. Not only that, the only thing that matters to them in their current state, which is the hunted team in the NFL trying to make history, trying to win this thing three times in a row, which nobody, not the 70s Steelers, the 80s 49ers, the 90s Cowboys, the Patriots, never did. Nobody did. They've played so much football. They're just trying to survive until this bye, get the bye, and then regroup. And they know better than anybody else that not a damn thing matters once you get to that first playoff game. And if you're coming off a rest with Andy Reid and Spagnuolo, time to prepare, and you have a healthy Patrick Mahomes, presumably by then, and you've got reinforcements. They've gotten some guys back. Hollywood Brown's going to play for them, I think, this weekend. They already have a really good defense. A guy like Chris Jones has played a million games. People complaining about him. You know where Chris Jones is going to be when the playoffs start. Ready in Kansas City. That's where he's going to be. He's got a body clock that I think a lot of these guys with the Chiefs do. They know what time of year it is. They know there's coasting at times in the regular season. They don't get paid for that. They get paid to be at Arrowhead and only have to win two measly little games to get back to the Super Bowl. Now, last year they went on the road, but for the most part, they've done it at Arrowhead, and that's where they need to be and want to be this year. They're the team to beat. They're the team that I fear more than anybody else is the Chiefs, because it's going to be on the road in all likelihood. That could change, but in all likelihood, it's going to be on the road. And if you gave me a choice of getting to the Super Bowl through Kansas City or Buffalo, I'm taking Buffalo. I'd rather go through Buffalo.
A couple things. First off, I'm a Niners fan, so I was on the wrong end of two Super Bowl losses against Patrick Mahomes. I thought San Francisco for probably three-plus quarters was the better team.
Yeah.
It's almost... So I would say at this point, Mahomes has kind of become Michael Jordan in the sense that you assume he's just going to find some way to win at the wire no matter what, even if he's down all of his best skill guys, even if his team is down 17 points going into the fourth quarter. You just assume now he's going to find ways to win because he has done it so much.
Yes.
I don't even know what it would take if he is even 60% and able to play, because we've seen him. Didn't he get to a Super Bowl playing through an ankle injury previously? I mean, he just finds a way to make it work.
Was that 2 years ago or last year? Now I can't even remember.
I don't think it was last year. I think it was 2 years ago, where it's like, oh, well, Mahomes is injured.
Oh, that's right. It was against Cincinnati in that title game.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's overcome an injury. They've overcome having to win games on the road. They've overcome having bad regular seasons. And the other guy that I think is going to be better in the postseason is Kelce, because he hasn't had a very good season, certainly the beginning of the season. But I think, to your point, much like some of his teammates, he will probably play his best football when it's most needed.
Yeah, man. They're going to hunker down. For a couple weeks and get ready. Now, things, if they lose this number one seed, that may be the difference between me picking them to go to the Super Bowl again and not. In fact, it would be.
Which might be the reason why they're trying to get Mahomes seemingly to play this week.
Sounds like he's going to play. I mean, he doesn't really need to play this week, but man, if they lose this week, they're going to be gung-ho about winning this game in Pittsburgh. I'll tell you that, because I think they really need that. Breaking news, Brooke Pryor, ESPN, 7 minutes ago. T.J. Watt was non-committal on playing Saturday in Baltimore, but he said the ankle felt pretty good this week. I saw his brother J.J. on the McAfee show. He seemed to be optimistic as well. Brian Batko earlier today said, you know, the arrow's pointed up with him and down with Pickens. So from all the vibes we're getting, it sure sounds like TJ's going to give this a go, doesn't it?
I'm devastated that Brian Batko did not text me any updates, by the way. He promised that he would. Now he's just tweeting them instead.
Yeah, what is he doing? Brooke Pryor, TJ Watt was limited yesterday, but looked to be more involved today. We'll get some designations later this afternoon. George Pickens' hamstring did most of his work solo today. I'm not seeing it. I mean, obviously, you know, anybody can see that the way that things are trending right now. Now, for the Ravens, Rashad Bateman from Jameson Hensley, who covers them, Bateman wearing a walking boot in the locker room didn't practice with a foot injury. That doesn't sound good. Unless he's going to go out there in a walking boot, right?
I thought I saw...
Based on the last game, he could get open against this secondary if he did wear a walking boot.
I thought he was listed as limited yesterday.
Well, today...
I guess maybe it's getting worse.
Extremely limited. So, and then you have Deshaun Elliott, you have Ogunjobi. Like I mentioned to Brian, everything says pick the Ravens. Vegas with the giant point spread, injuries. Ravens having that nice bye week and then really two bye weeks in a row because they played the Giants. Plus having this inability to beat the Steelers that's really gnawing at them. Marlon Humphrey talked about it this week. Lamar talks about it. We had Rob on yesterday. Do you have that clip talking about how Lamar is just...
I remember
just...
as a teenager, Michael Jordan was torching everybody in the NBA. Folks start saying, Craig Elo is the Jordan stop. And Jordan got tired of that. He torched Elo, including the game winner at the end. I think Lamar Jackson's tired of hearing about Pittsburgh Steelers being the Lamar stopper. And I think he's going to address that this Saturday.
I hear that. I thought it might happen in Pittsburgh. And while everything is telling me to pick the Ravens, that's so obviously the smart pick, there is indisputably a hex on the Ravens when they play the Steelers. And if it happens again, it's going to be 9 out of 10. I mean, that's you just own a team at that point.
That's
9
like
out of 10.
Ohio State against Penn State.
Yeah, I mean, that's... That just becomes, if it's not undeniable already. As we sit here, it's 8 of 9, so I wonder.
It's a mental hurdle.
Part of me says, why is it going to be different? Because of the injuries? Maybe because Lamar finally gets to play in front of actual people in Baltimore against the Steelers, which he's never done. He played at home during the COVID year with no fans or limited fans, whatever it was. Does that matter? I think I could see that mattering. I think he could feel more confident there. The home crowd could infuse him with confidence. But I could also, like I said to Brian, see that turning. Like, things go poor early. What are we doing here? Again, we're going to lose to the Steelers? How many times in a row? How many times out of 10 or whatever it is? And suddenly that becomes a more pressurized situation by playing at home. You know what I mean?
It's one of those situations, too, when they've lost some games that are kind of surprising to this point of the season. So I don't think Baltimore fans are too happy with how the season's played out. Now, of course, they're going to be measured by if they can win in the postseason. But what we were just talking about earlier, they lose this game. I mean, is it out of the realm of possibilities that they have to go to Buffalo for their first playoff game? I mean, that could happen.
It could.
And that would be worst case scenario. I think everyone agrees. Kansas City, assume they get the bye. You don't worry about them in the opening round. Buffalo, far and away, is the worst matchup for anyone else in the AFC, and I don't even think it's close.
Man, I'm looking at Lamar's home and road splits for his career. I thought I was going to see, wow, he's way better at home. Not really. Not really. This guy... The numbers that he puts up, Sean, are just mind-blowing. He's played 49 home games in his career. He's 36-13. He's 35-16 on the road, almost the same record. He has 77 touchdowns at home, 82 on the road, and 14 less interceptions on the road. See, that's the thing. And when I used to cover hockey, there used to be this dynamic a lot. That when teams go on the road, they're content just to win, to hunker down and play a good road game and not worry about entertaining anybody. Do you know what I mean? There's not that factor. It's let's go in here and get out with a win. We're not playing at home. We're not trying to put on a show, that type of thing. And Lamar's great at home, don't get me wrong. But when I see numbers like in virtually the same amount of games at home, he has 31 picks and on the road only 17, then I start to wonder about a dynamic like that. He's great running the ball wherever, as you might expect. So that's a factor that I'll be very curious to see how it plays out.
You know, I think it's interesting. is it fair to say that the Steelers limiting Saquon Barkley probably took him out of the MVP race?
Probably, yeah.
They could do the
not
same.
Not to mention he might be banged up.
They could do the same to Lamar this week,
right?
I mean, they could basically gift it to Josh Allen with what they've done if they continue to have success this week. It would be two straight weeks that they've really kind of held a MVP candidate under wraps.
Man, what if Lamar finishes with a flourish here? What if he lights up the Steelers, they go on to win the division, and he finishes with like 44 touchdowns and five picks? People are assuming that Josh Allen has it wrapped up. I think right now he's a clear front runner based on a strong finishing kick here, but the kick isn't finished. There's still work to be done by both guys, and the Bills have an easy schedule, which is the good news and the bad news maybe for Josh Allen's MVP candidacy. They may blow teams out early. They may rest him in the final game. They may be ugly games that they're not all that interested. You know how it works sometimes. Whereas Lamar, these guys have a lot on the line. What if he does? What if he does just state an undeniable statistical case, which he's already had in the stats? I think that's going to be fascinating. And Barkley, I mean, Barkley comes back with a 200-yard game, and he winds up in the end breaking Eric Dickerson's record. How can he not still be one?
I saw today he needs just shy of 140 yards per game from here on out to break the all-time record. So he'd probably, to your point, have to have one really big game in order to do that. I'm also wondering if he would be a guy who rests in the final week of the regular season.
Very true.
If you have an all-time NFL record in front of you, that might be hard to pass up on.
Of all the months in the year of the regular season, guess which is Lamar's worst month winning percentage-wise?
Does January count?
Oh my God. He's 18-4 in December. No, it's actually September at the beginning of seasons. It's so strange, man. Here's a guy who I think we would all agree is an all-time like spectacular talent at the quarterback position. I think if for some reason he walked away from football today, I think he'd be in the Hall of Fame. He's a two-time MVP guy.
Yeah, and what he's done is different from just about anyone else in NFL history with truly being better than most running backs and playing at a high level.
He would absolutely be in the Hall of Fame. I mean,
he's like if Mike Vick panned out to his full potential. You know what I mean? The ability to be the best athlete on the field and a gifted passer.
But here's the thing. There's two pieces of kryptonite here, and they're the two worst possible pieces you could have. His arch rival and the playoffs. Those are two bad areas in which to kind of have a hex over you. The rest of the league, he's Michael Jordan. Regular season, he's Michael Jordan, literally. But Jordan made his legend in the biggest games. This guy has two issues. Major issues that he needs to conquer: the Pittsburgh Steelers, his arch rival, and later on in the biggest games later on. He did play really well against the Texans, and they destroyed them last year in the playoffs. But then you got to the Chiefs game; everybody thought they had the road paved to the Super Bowl, and he didn't play well again. So that's a hell of a thing. How many guys have we seen like this, where their all-time stuff against everybody in the league except for one team and later on in the playoffs? Like even Jordan, he had the Pistons, but he destroyed everybody else in the playoffs. I was there for one of those games, what they did to the Cavs. Lamar is even struggling to get that part right. It doesn't make sense in a lot of ways.
He'll always be the third or fourth best quarterback of his era unless he wins the Super Bowl.
Yeah. At least get there, you know? At least get there. It's just, it's
although I think some people might have that same question about Josh Allen right now. They might say this is the year where he has to get over.
Well, yeah, but to me at least, it's different. As far as I'm concerned, Josh Allen has walked into the den of the beast and beaten him. He did everything he could do and was spectacular in Kansas City 3 years ago, and his idiot coach couldn't protect the lead with 13 seconds left. And then last year, he went toe-to-toe with Mahomes in Buffalo. He had an unbelievable game, and his kicker missed a 27-yard field goal, or the game goes to overtime probably. So,
Burrow's kind of the same because he has that win against Mahomes.
Burrow and Allen have played well in the playoffs. Lamar has not, and it's just strange. I tend to think that it's only a matter of time against both the Steelers and in the playoffs. I tend to think that, but right now the proof is otherwise. And like I said, I'm torn. I'm going to sit down and look in the crystal ball tonight, Sean, don't call me Seth Meyers, and try to pick a winner here because I picked the Steelers earlier this year. Why would Lamar suddenly play great against the Steelers? Why? Now? I'm going to think about that. All right. We'll wind it up next with your calls, 412-928-9370, on all those topics. And also another little football note that I think you'll find very interesting coming up. I would bet that depending on what happens Saturday and the rest of the year, there are still people who fear the Ravens more than the Steelers in these playoffs. Especially if the Steelers are obviously, if they're going to be banged up here. I think most people probably will fear the Ravens more. But from the Steelers' perspective, which team in the overall field do you fear the worst? And which team would you want to play in that opening weekend? Let's take a couple calls. Sean, who do we got?
Let's go to Ron and Jeanette.
Hey, Ron.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, what's up?
Not much. I was just calling in about the what team I think the Steelers should play. I kind of agree with you guys and Hokie with the Chargers, but I don't think the Steelers are going to go anywhere if we don't have Pickens back and a deep threat for Wilson.
I'm with you there. I'm absolutely with you. I appreciate the call. He's got to be in there. I mean, this starting in the Cleveland game, I think we fooled ourselves. And unbelievably, Mike Tomlin went in front of the media after that game and told everybody how good their other receivers were and says, maybe you guys will finally believe me. What? Let's see what happens when you play real teams like Philadelphia and Baltimore and Kansas City and somebody in the playoffs. You're not winning. Probably, maybe one of those games, but I don't think so without Pickens.
I would imagine
this whole thing's been a George Pickens infomercial for his contract next year.
If he doesn't play this week, you have to figure they're doing it so that he would be 100% come the playoffs. There's no way I think that they would risk compromising his postseason availability. So maybe they'll be extra cautious now, knowing that they will not have any chance in the postseason sans him.
Next.
We are going to go to Rick.
Hey, Rick.
Hey, guys. Well, you bring up a good point with Pickens, but the question I don't think anyone's asking is, what is he doing with his time right now? He's getting all this time, and if he's not, his butt's not in there at 10 a.m. studying film, studying the secondaries of all the potential opponents in the playoffs, that's on Tomlin. Pickens has got to be
makes you think he isn't?
I don't know. That's the question. Is he doing that? Because Pickens has this chance with resting his body as he heals. He could be that force in the playoffs, but is he doing the work or isn't he? That's a good question. I'd like to see someone ask Tomlin, what's he doing?
Well, I would hope rehabbing and doing the things that you spoke about. I have no reason to believe that he's not, really. But I would say this, and I keep saying this, is good health over home game for the playoffs. It's not even close for me. I'll go anywhere and play with Watt and Pickens and think I have a chance. It's always a very tricky situation is, are you risking further injury?
Did you see, by the way, Batco saying Justin Fields watching the other quarterbacks while standing around in a hoodie today? So I would imagine that doesn't bode well for his availability.
Doesn't sound like it. Oh my God, what if we see Kyle Allen in this game? You think if it's third and four late in the game and the Steelers have a chance to clinch, they'll bring in Kyle Allen to make that throw like they did?
Stare it out down the field,
right? Yeah. Russ is 27 for 28 on the day, but we'll let Kyle Allen throw that pass. We have to go. Fan Hotline. No, I already read that. Brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester. What's cooking?
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
50-minute mark on the fan. Brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. A Donnie Football Friday tomorrow. We've got trivia games. We've got previews. We've got interviews. We've got Ray Fittipaldo. That'll all happen tomorrow. Thank you, Sean. Great working with you. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy 0% financing on all 2024 Chevy EV models up to 60 months through January 3rd with credit through GM Financial. High at 36 today.
Thursday night football, Broncos at Chargers, 8:15 kickoff. Our coverage via Westwood One starts at 7:30 right here on 93.7 The Fan and on the free Odyssey app. Headlines powered by Bowser Genesis of Monroeville. For more, check out 93.7thefan.com.